Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program where we examine issues in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Summer's over and everyone's getting ready for going back to school. At least the parents are thinking about it. Kids rather not. The program today is about public education. This is a subject that can really raise the blood pressure. From the teachers in the government schools who want to defend their turf, to the parents who are sick and tired of paying outrageous property taxes for a system that is academically and morally bankrupt. I'm not a fan of the government school system. In general, the Christian community is opposed to the system of government-run schools that monopolize our tax dollars to fund a godless education system. Many Christian parents, out of a conviction that their children need to have a Christ-centered education, have to double pay for their children's education, first through county school tax and then private education. A few years ago, James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family, who for years encouraged parents to stay in the government school system to be salt and light, finally he had enough and told parents that even he believed it was time to exit the government schools out of religious, moral, and academic convictions. More and more parents are taking that option. The Christian's objection to the government school system is twofold. First, the government's interference and monopolization of education. Second, the banning of religious teaching from the government schools. These are two separate issues. For even if the government schools were to allow for religious freedom and the free exercise thereof, the government's monopoly of education is an unbiblical seizing of responsibility that belongs to the institution of the family, not the institution of government. And the institution through which education takes place affects the moral religious teaching in the school. So there's a relationship between these two issues. Because the government has interfered in and monopolized education, there is the banning of Christian education. The system that is chosen is important. A socialistic big government monopoly always favors the subsidizing of wolves and false teachers. The institution of the family controlling education is more conducive to the passing on of the moral spiritual values to the next generation. Education is a responsibility of the family. That doesn't mean parents can't hire mentors for their children, but the education of children is to be under the control of the family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up." Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Proverbs chapter 4, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding." But aren't all of these passages about parental education only referring to religious education? Well, the Bible does not separate between religious and secular education as we do today. All education is to center in God. And there is no place in Scripture that even hints at the civil authorities being responsible for the education of children. God's people have always understood that education belongs to the family. So to educate children, the Jewish families established a synagogue system. This was private education. Christian families throughout history have done the same. In early America, schools were private and church-led institutions that were funded by the parents. Scholarships were made available for needy children, but it wasn't until the 1840s that tax-supported government schools began to appear. They were modeled after the Greek and Roman tradition, where the city-state was primarily responsible for the education of children. This was the Babylonian system we read about in Daniel chapter 1, where King Nebuchadnezzar took the four Jewish boys from their family, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and taught them the ways of the Babylonians. Liberal progressives in the 19th century, such as the Unitarian Horace Mann and the humanist John Dewey, were the intellectual leaders of the public school movement. The system was not created by the Christians. In fact, many Christian groups raised objections. Now, after 150 years of government schools, Americans believe that the only way to educate children is through a state-controlled monopoly on education, that the education of children is a responsibility of the state, and that the only fair way to educate the masses is through the state. Now, these assumptions have no basis in the truth, but there is no way of convincing those who determine truth by tradition that God never called the government to be in the education business. Continuing private education in America would have worked well. The government's only role would have been to make sure charity was provided for children who could not afford education. The government did not need to own and control all education. But at the end of the 19th century, Americans opted for the government control of all education money and the owning of all the schools. Why? The progressive social thinkers of the time believed in the power of the state. Now, because the government has interfered and monopolized education, Americans are burdened with wasteful taxation. It is a known fact that private schools can educate for half the cost of government schools. While the average expense for each public school student is about $10,000 to $15,000 per year, private schools can do it for about $5,000 to $7,000 and do a better job in test scores and in discipline. The bureaucratic waste and economic efficiency of the government school system is part of the curse that comes when the state takes on a responsibility that does not belong to the state. Remember what the prophet Samuel said to the Israelites when they demanded a king to fight their battles for them? They were demanding a level of government God had not ordained. And Samuel says to them, "This will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariot. He will take of your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take of the best of your fields and of your vineyards and of your olive groves and give them to his servants." Now, I've taught various K through 12 subjects, and it's not rocket science. And pure education is not all that expensive. All you need is a desk, a book, and a motivated student. But the government schools have turned it into a trillion-dollar business. And when they don't do well, they cry for more and more money. First, you have to have elaborate buildings. Then there is a whole staff of building managers and janitorial workers. There is a need for secretaries and accountants. Many school districts have full-time people just to manage the health insurance for the teachers and staff. You need computer IT support. You need principals. You need assistant principals. You need bus drivers and buses, crossing guards, lunchroom staff, security, lawn care, building repair, purchasing agents, enormous heating and electric bills, and pension costs. All this before one teacher is hired to teach a child. I have four children, and we homeschool using a DVD education program. All of the teaching for all 12 grades is recorded on DVD. The DVD education uses the best teachers and graphics. We never get a bad teacher. The teacher is never sick. My son can replay the class if he misses something. He is not disturbed by other students. And my children get all the socialization they need in homeschool YMCA swim and gym time, skiing, drama, art classes, field trips. In a typical government school day, if you cut out all of the busing, the procedural attendance taking, the moving around, the interruptions, the breaks, the lunch hours, at best, only 2 hours of real education takes place. So my sons at home learn faster, learn more than I ever did in government schools. Now, the cost for educating my children at home with a DVD program is about $1,000 per child. By educating my kids at home, I have saved the taxpayers in the state of New Jersey $600,000. I'm still waiting for my thank you from the governor. The teacher unions would quickly respond that by homeschooling, I don't save the state that much money because the teachers are already hired. But that's not true, because there are so many thousands of parents now homeschooling in New Jersey that if they were to go into the public school system, new buildings would have to be constructed and new teachers hired. The small homeschool group out of our church has saved state taxpayers $5 million. Now, I'm not suggesting that every family should homeschool. Not every parent has teaching gifts. But even the private school option is far better and cheaper than the public schools. So not even looking at it from a spiritual point of view, economically, the government school system is a bust. And civic leaders are beginning to recognize this. It is getting too expensive and too inefficient for the government to provide education. Recently, the media has reported that many schools are switching to 4 days a week to save money. Some are even trying to drop the senior year of high school, both to save money and to get students on to college. Other schools are using DVDs and computer-based education along with working from home. The state is beginning to do what the homeschoolers have been doing all along. The state is looking at how good a life homeschoolers have, the good results, the low cost, and beginning to say, we need to do this. There is no question with the technology the way it is that the government schools in America, as we know them, will come to an end. The question is not if, but when. Because of the new resources available in online education, if every government school was to close down tomorrow, the children of our nation would do just fine. They may actually have more time to learn. Now, teacher unions are afraid of this because they know they can be easily downsized. But good teachers, like good pastors, don't put their job before their students. Our job is to put ourselves out of a job. So the system we now have is not good. But that is not the primary objection that the Christian community has toward the public school system. The main objection is the banning of the teaching of Jesus Christ. Here's a very interesting verse in this regard. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we read, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my word to my people and would have turned them back from their evil ways and from the evil of their deeds. The teaching of this verse is that even though God did not call these certain men to take upon themselves the role of the prophet, if they would have taught the people the law of God, even though they were not called to the prophetic ministry, they would have had a positive effect on the people. The lesson here applies to the government invasion into education. Even though God did not call the government to take on the role of education, if the government schools would have taught the students the word of God, then even a bad system would have worked. And that is why I believe the public schools worked so well in the early years. The teachers were free to teach the word of God, but now the system has abandoned God, then the system itself becomes part of the problem. The offense is that God's truth has been banned from the education system in America. This is a violation of American freedom of conscience and religion, and is a persecution of the Christian faith. Flavius Claudius Julius, the emperor of the Roman Empire in 355 AD, when he came to power, one of his first acts was to place all state schools under the direction of pagans, and he prohibited the Christian teaching of any school subjects. He said that the followers of this Galilean named Jesus should content themselves with teaching the Bible in their churches instead of profaning the glorious Greek philosophies. That was the persecution of the Roman Empire against Christians. In America, the stealing of education away from the Christians came with the Blaine Amendments of the 1870s. The secularist Speaker of the House, James Blaine, made it his life ambition to prohibit government tax dollars from going toward religious schools, to create government schools, and to prohibit those schools from teaching religion. The sad irony is that in the formative years of the public school system, the promoters and the politician promised the public that the government schools would not be irreligious, but merely non-sectarian. They promised that the public schools would continue in Bible reading, prayer, and moral Christian instruction. But the Christian theologians of that day knew they would not keep their promise. They understood that a watered-down version of Christian morality without Christ would not last long. The famous Presbyterian theologian Robert Louis Dabney spoke against the secularization of the public schools, saying, if you make the schools godless, the student's life will be godless. And he said, it's hard to conceive how a teacher can teach history, psychology, ethics, the laws of nations, and say nothing favorable or unfavorable touching the Christian beliefs. He said to educate on subjects and to leave Christ out is to ask the teacher to teach the play of Hamlet with the part of Hamlet being omitted. You see, the Bible teaches that for education to happen, Christ must be the center of education. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But the undiscerning American public fell for the lie and became content that the all-wise government would keep their children safe from any offensive religious dogma. The moral erosion continued for a century until that fateful day in 1963, when the courts ruled all religion out of public schools. In the case of the School District of Abington Township versus Shemp, the court held that the recitation of the Lord's Prayer and the reading from the Bible during the school day violated the First Amendment. And in a peculiar perversion of justice, the courts did not focus on the Christian's right to the free exercise of religion, but on the secularist's desire to be free from Christian free speech. And the teacher no longer had academic freedom to decide what constitutes truth. The government would now decide what is truth, not the teacher, not the parent. And as we would expect, the government determined that the truth of Christ was too religious and too offensive to be permitted in public education. There was little national outcry over this court's ruling. First, because by this time, our public schools were so secularized that the token reading of the Bible was hardly missed. Second, because the so-called Christian community believed the lie that it was better to outlaw religious truth in public schools than to risk a teacher spreading some false teaching. Remember, I've pointed this out in the past. When Satan brings in sin and apostasy, he always sells it with a sophisticated, subtle lie. The first is the separation of God and state. I've touched on this before. Despite what people say, the state is obligated to follow God's moral law recorded in the Bible. The second is this myth of neutrality. This was an argument that was widely used at the inception of the public schools. This myth says that a subject could be taught absent of religious truth, without harm coming to the student. The state could teach the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and religious instruction could be relegated to other institutions outside the public school, such as the family or the church. Now, this theory of education sounds reasonable, but a whole new light is spread on it once we define it for what it is. The myth of neutrality claims that education that masters the material world can be godless without God. God is not to be a part of man's business. But the Bible teaches a different value. Jesus is to be the purpose for all things. He is to have first place in everything, Colossians 1. Not only is neutrality a defiance to God's law, but the very concept of neutrality is an impossibility. There are only two basic religions in the world, theism and atheistic materialism. By rejecting God, materialistic idolatry is chosen by default. Humanist John Dumphy said this, "I am convinced that the battle for man's future must be waged and won in the public school classrooms by teachers who correctly perceive their roles as proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all of its adjacent evils and misery, versus the new faith of humanism." That reflects the secular goal of government schools. And I believe God has pronounced a curse on the government school system. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord." A man or an institution that turns from God and trusts his own strength is under a curse. You see, these secular educators want students to work hard, get good grades, be respectful, polite, keep the law. What they are saying is they want them to act like Christians, but without Christ. God won't have it that way. In fact, the American education establishment has actually challenged God. They have claimed that they do not need Jesus Christ to make righteous, industrious, smart citizens. And in that, they have challenged God. Will God let them win? I think not. That is why I say it's not if the government schools will collapse, it's when. One final thought. The expelling of Jesus Christ from our schools was not just the fault of bad politicians. We did this to ourselves. We believed all the rationalistic lies pushed on us to make our schools godless. We did this because we didn't love the truth. We, the people, failed to appreciate what we had been given in divine revelation. To put it another way, We were simply ashamed of the gospel and did not believe that the gospel is the power of God into salvation. The removal of Christian truth from education was not essentially about free speech, tolerance, separation of church and state issues. Those legal arguments were a smokescreen to cover the spiritual issue of unbelief in the heart of America. To prove this point, imagine if tomorrow the state outlawed the teaching of mathematics in public schools. Parents would riot in the streets. They would say, "How could our children be prepared for life without mathematics? Math is foundational to all subjects. Music theory is based on math. History cannot be taught without dates. Businesses cannot operate without accounting. A school without mathematics would not be fit to be called a school." But the promoters of this mathless education may answer, "Well, many Christians are offended because they do not believe mathematics is truth. Besides, parents can teach mathematics in the privacy of their homes, or they can start Sunday morning arithmetic schools." Well, the response of parents would be, "How ridiculous. If we have to supplement our children's education with arithmetic, why even pay to have public schools?" Well, all this should be said about the truths found in the Word of God. How could our children be prepared for life without the Word of God? Theology is the foundation of all subjects. The chief end of music is to glorify God. History is His story. Business cannot operate without Christian ethics. A school without the Bible would not be fit to be called a school. And if parents valued God and His Word, they would say, "If we have to on our own supplement our children's education with biblical truth, why even pay to have public schools?" Educational practices all come down to what you believe about Jesus. If Jesus was esteemed to be as true as mathematics, then all the same passions and arguments for mathematics would carry over into a vehement support for the inclusion of biblical teaching in public schools. No arguments for plurality or tolerance would carry any weight because no one eliminates from education that which they truly believe is truth, nor do they relegate it to other venues, no matter how much it may offend others. If Jesus had His proper preeminence in our nation, parents would consider a school without Jesus to be a non-school. But the indictment is that too many Americans in their heart of hearts did not esteem Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And it is this unbelief and the choices that are made accordingly that God uses to test and then judge the lives of individuals and nations. There is no greater evidence of America's apostasy than her willful abandonment of Christian truth from the realm of education. Because how we educate our children, our most precious treasure, speaks volumes about our attitude toward Christ. And by our laws, we unashamedly told Jesus Christ to depart from us. Like the people at Gadara who said to Jesus, "Depart from our land." But Christian, don't lose hope. What did you expect the world to do with Christ? And even though the mass of humanity has rejected Jesus Christ, you don't have to. You can still raise your children in a godly environment and in the knowledge of God. Jesus Christ is still building His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And God is not interested in the majority. He is interested in His little flock. And our testimony in the way we do Christian education will always shine brightly before the world and can lead many souls into the kingdom of God. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. Our website is godandcountryradio.org. Our telephone number is 732-583-9286. There you can listen to this program again and listen to other programs in our archives. God and Country Radio is a ministry of Harbor Bible Fellowship Church in Central Jersey. You're welcome to come and visit with us. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that despite all the failures of the nations to obey Jesus Christ, You are still building Your church. Help Your people to never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and with boldness teach their children about Christ, Christ who is the center and the reason for all things. Amen.